joke for you today. It's called Snow in the Hair. We all got a little snow in our hair anymore as we get older. One day a little girl was sitting and watching her mother do dishes at the kitchen sink, and she suddenly noticed that her mother had several strands of white hair sticking out in contrast to her brunette head. She looked at her mother and inquisitively asked, "Why are some of your hairs white, Mom?" Her mother replied, "Well, every time that you do something wrong and make me cry or unhappy, one of my hairs turns white." The little girl thought about this revelation for a while, and then she said, "So, Mama, how come all of Grandma's hairs are white?" Watch out, kids are too smart nowadays. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you all praise and glory here today. I ask you to pour yourself through me and out of me, and just let your spirit just touch lives, encourage hearts, and know that no matter what's going on in their life, that you're right there with them. And you're that friend that sticks closer than a brother, and that you're just our ever-present help in time of need. And I thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title to my sermon today is The Power of God's Word. Yeah, and doesn't God coordinate things? He always does. First scripture I want to talk to you about is, I'm not reading the scripture, but part of the scripture's in this, but this is where that scripture is. It's Luke 5, 4, and 5. Now, Luke shared this experience of a fisherman who toiled all night without reward. Their failure was perfectly honorable. They were not embarrassed, simply weary. In fact, they had left their boats by the edge of the lake and were washing their nets when Jesus appeared, and he sat in one of the boats and taught those who gathered. After he said, "Simon," in those boats he was sitting, "put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon said, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing." Then in verse 8 it says this, "Peter was not ashamed. It was not his fault that they had failed. It was not a matter of fishermen demonstrating new gear. Peter and his companions were professionals. Fishing was their business. And knowing they had failed, Jesus did not criticize, but encouraged them to try again in deeper water. The catch was phenomenal. The boat almost sunk. They took in so many fish. When he told them to go back out and cast into the deep, there were so many fish that their boat almost sunk. And Peter said, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinner man," or sinful man. And you know, a lot of times when Jesus begins to deal with us, we begin to feel very insufficient. But you know what? That's okay, because he's our sufficiency. And he was showing them that I'm your source, not your abilities, not what you can do on your own. I'm your source. You know, a visitor went to an electric plant, and he asked a chief engineer, "Where do you store the electricity?" "We don't store it," the man replied. The engineer replied, "We just make it. When a light switch is flipped on, it literally places a demand on the system. It registers at the generating plant and prompts the greater output of electricity." You know, God's grace and power likewise cannot be stored. You know, though it's inexhaustible, they come in a measure required in the amount that's needed. You know, and that's the way God is. He always gives you what you need. Sometimes we ask for more than what we need and we don't get it, and then we get upset because we say, "Well, God didn't answer my prayer." Well, you asked for more than what he wanted to give you at that point. And if you'll just trust him and let him give you what you actually need, then he'll supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. You know, last week I was finishing up the teaching on Zechariah, and I was in chapter 4, and 2 through 3 in the Amplified Bible says this, and I will tell you this, I don't think I told you this last week, but the name Zechariah, and I like to look at the names of the books in the Old Testament when I read from them, because I like to look up the meaning of their name. Because the meaning of their name almost always tells you what that book is about. Because God doesn't do things halfway. He does things all the way. And the meaning of the name Zechariah means God has remembered. And I'm going to tell you what, other people will forget, but God never forgets. He knows exactly what you need. He knows all of his promises that he's given to you in the scriptures, and he does not forget them. And he will bring them to pass in his time, in his way, whenever he wants to. You know, and in that book of Zechariah, in verse 2 it says, "And he said unto me, What do you see? And he said, I see and behold a lampstand, all of gold, with its bowl of oil, for the oil on top." And this is out of the Amplified Bible too. And he says, "On the top of it, and it's seven lamps on it, and there are seven pipes to each of the seven lamps which are upon the top of it. And there are two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl and the other on the left side of it." And I love this, "feeding it continuously with oil." And I told you last week that when the scripture talks about the lampstand, it's talking about the church. And if you go up in Revelations and look at it up there, you'll see that he's talking about the seven churches, because John had a vision of lamps too. And there were seven lamps. And those were the seven churches. And, you know, so he's talking about here about the church. And in Zechariah 4:6, it says this, "And then he said unto me, This is the addition," because he asked him, he says, "Well, what are these? What is this all about?" And it's okay to ask God questions, but a lot of times he'll say to you, "Don't you know?" And you know what you should say almost every time that he says that? "No, I don't know, Lord, please tell me." Because if you act like you know, he won't tell you. And and then he said unto me, "This addition of the bowl to the candlestick causes it to yield a ceaseless supply of oil from the olive trees." Now, I told you in Revelations last week, I told you that when John had his revelation, he saw a stream like crystal coming out from underneath the throne, and he saw a tree on one side and a tree on the other side. And, you know, Scripture tells us that Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches." And, you know, in Psalm number 1, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner." And sometimes, if we're not careful, we stand in the way of the sinner because we're too quick to tell them they're a sinner rather than telling them the good news about what God had done for them, that they've been forgiven. And they can receive that forgiveness very easily and become a child of God just by acknowledging Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, you know. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, we stand in the way. "Blessed is the man walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, for he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. He'll bring forth his fruit in his season, and his leaves shall not wither." And in Revelations, the trees had leaves, and the leaves were for the healing of the nations. And I got news for you. The way that you know that a tree is alive is when it has leaves on it. And I told you last week, I went away. I believe I told you this last week. I might have told you the week before because I spoke on this for about 3 weeks. But I told you that we went away one time on vacation, and we had this big maple tree in our backyard, big, huge. I mean, it was really big. And It had all the leaves on it, and it's just a pretty tree, you know. And all the kids who ever came into the backyard wanted to climb in that tree because the branches were kind of low and you could get in it pretty easy. But anyway, we came back from vacation, and all the leaves had fallen off that tree. And it wasn't time for them to fall out. It was still in the summertime. So I was looking at that, and we happened to have a person who was a landscaper that lived across the street from us. He was from a family of landscapers, so he knew all about stuff like that. So we went across the street, and we got him, and we said, "Hey, man, can you come over and take a look at our tree? What's wrong with it?" And we got over there, and he walked up and looked at it, and he says, "It has borers in it." And we got to looking, and there was little bitty holes in the tree, all over the tree in different places. And these borers had bored into the tree and had killed it. And all the leaves had fallen off. You know, and, you know, what I want you to know is that God said that we are all trees. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, sit in the seat of the scornful, for he shall be like a tree. And we're trees. And those two trees that we're seeing here, in the Amplified Bible, it tells us that one of them was Joshua, the high priest, and the other one was Zerubbabel. And I told you Zerubbabel meant Joshua the high. Joshua's name means God the Savior. And Zerubbabel's name means one born out of Babylon. And we've all been born out of Babylon at one time or another, out of the confusion of our life or out of the confusion of the religious system out there or whatever. And when we were born again, we were born of that incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And, you know, we walk in newness of life now. But we are those trees. And what God wants us to do is to feed oil back into the church. And He's feeding oil into the church from the other side. And literally, I believe what he's talking about there too is Scripture tells us in Romans the 8th chapter, it says, "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." Not to us, in us. "For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God." And I want you to know, you're all sons of God. When you were born again of the incorruptible seed, that same seed, each seed is after its own kind. It can only bear what the seed is. And I want you to know that you are all seeds of, you got that seed in you, and it can bring forth nothing but God. That's what it'll bring forth in your life. You know, the power of prayer has never fully been tried to full capacity in any church. I'm just going to tell you that straight out. I don't care what church it is. There is none of them where it's been tried to its full capacity. If you want to see mighty wonders of divine power and grace wrought in the places of weakness and failure and disappointment, let the whole church answer God's standing challenge. Call on me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I'm going to tell you what. Sometimes we moan and we groan and we complain, but to be perfectly honest with you, we haven't given up and let God have His way. And sometimes we haven't really sought His face like we should. We haven't spent time praying. We haven't spent time reading His Word like we should. Because I'm going to tell you, He'll give you the answers if you seek them. He said, "In the day that you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me." And I tell you what, sometimes we don't seek him with our whole heart. And that's why we don't find him in certain situations and certain circumstances. Psalm 61:11 says this, "God has spoken once, and twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God." He controls all power. There's no authority, there's no power, but that He allows it to be. And even some of the things that we don't understand and that we think are awful out in the world today, He's allowing that to be there. And whether we know it or not, somewhere down the road, we will see the purposes when we come into the fullness of understanding. We'll see the purposes of why these things were what they were. You know, there was a visitor, and he once was walking along a high part of a shore on the Dead Sea. And he lost his balance. And you know, I think every one of us at one time or another have lost our balance, even in the natural, you know. I mean, I get up every now and then at night and go to the bathroom. I have to be real careful because when I first get up, I'm still half asleep, you know. And I have to walk through the hallway, and then the stairs go downstairs to the bottom floor, and the bathroom's to the left, and the stairs are to the right. And I tell you what, if you was to lose your balance when you got out in the hallway, you'd go tumbling right down them steps and probably break your neck. And, you know, Margaret used to have, vertigo sometimes. She'd get vertigo. Man, I would worry about her, you know, because I was real careful to try to wake up whenever she'd get up to make sure she could get in the bathroom, you know, because that vertigo makes you lose your balance. And sometimes you can fall. But she doesn't hardly have that much anymore. But anyway, this young man, he was walking along the Dead Sea, and he lost his balance. And he fell into the water, and he couldn't swim. And you know, if you fall in the water and you can't swim, that's a pretty bad feeling. And I mean, that's a frightening feeling. And then you get scared. And it says here, and in desperation that least he would sink and be drowned, he began to fling his arms about. And at last he was exhausted. He couldn't fling his arms no more. And he felt that he could do no more. And then he found something he had not known. The water caused him to float. You see, the water of the Dead Sea is so heavy with salt and other minerals that when you lay still in it, he found out that he'd float to the surface and just float. And you know, he could not drown so long as he resigned himself to the power of the deep. So it is with us. You know, there is a power beneath us, around us, and most importantly, waiting in us to bear us up. We should cease from our flinging around and our fruitless efforts and let the power of God upgird us. You know, are you willing that if you're in a situation where it seems like your life is unfruitful, it seems like you're not really hearing from God, are you willing to cast out into the deep with Jesus? And are you willing to put your net down on the other side of the boat? Sometimes you got to do that. And you know what that means? That means you quit trying to work it out for yourself. You quit trying to make it work when it ain't working. And you go to the Lord and begin to say, Lord, I got to have you in this situation. I cannot do it. You know, Mark was talking about his situation with his job. I'm going to tell you, I worked in a machine shop for a lot of years. And I know exactly what he's saying because I've been there and done that. I'm going to say hundreds of times over the years because I worked in a machine shop for 50-something years. And I tell you, I had times when I had a man who worked with me and they wanted us to machine these printing rolls and they had to be exact sizes. I didn't actually have a tolerance. They had to be an exact size. They wanted so many this size, so many this next size, and they wanted me to put them in different sizes, but they had to be exactly that size. And the reason it was because they went on multicolor print, you know, big printing machines. And if they weren't the exact size, then when they printed the stuff off, the labels or whatever it was, or pictures or whatever, they would be blurry. Because everything wouldn't fall exactly where it was supposed to fall. Well, when this guy was working for me, when we hired him, he had 30 years experience. And he was older than me, but I had 35 years experience. And I was his boss, so to speak. And I told him, I said, well, we're going to run these rolls, these printing rolls. And he says, he looked at the tolerance and he said, I can't hold that tolerance. I said, oh, you can. No, no, I can't hold that tolerance. He says, that's too tight. I can't hold that tolerance. I said, yeah, you can. He got real adamant about it. No, I can't hold that. I said, well, come on, let me show you. And I ran some of them and made them exact sizes. Well, then after that, he saw it done. And then he ran that job whenever it came into the shop after that. Because there would be multiple pieces on that job. And when you set up a machine to run jobs, when you have multiple pieces, it's a lot easier to run, because once you do the first one and get it right, the ones that follow after it are a lot easier to do, and you can do them a lot quicker. And I would always take the hard jobs, the one-piece jobs and the real oddball stuff that it was hard to set up and hard to do, and I would run them on another machine, other machines. But anyway, I had times when he had 30-something years experience, and we would have something that was really hard to do, maybe, and he was running it. And he would come and get me where it was almost to size and was running out or something. And then he'd come and say, you know, I couldn't get this to come out right. You want to come and look at it? And he'd put me in a position to where there was really almost nothing there to work with. And all of a sudden, I was supposed to try to fix this thing, you know. And, you know, I'll be honest with you. Usually what I would do, I would pause and get quiet and still for a minute and go within. And I'd say, Lord, you got to help me. This is beyond me. Because we held very close tolerances, very, very close tolerances. And I'm going to tell you, I can say 99.99% of the time, almost 100% of the time, I was able to save whatever he couldn't get to come out. And I had jobs sometimes. I used to do some of these rolls that I'd have to do that were 10 feet long in a grinder. And 10 feet is a long way. And they'd want you to hold a real tight tolerance that whole 10-foot length. And I mean, you know, that's pretty hard to do sometimes. But you know what? God always met me, and I always was able to do things beyond what the machine's capability was, because I would always go within and say, Lord, you got to help me. And I'm sure Mark did that too, in that he finally got most of that job done. And I want him to quit saying he's not sure how it's going to turn out tomorrow. I'm sure. Because if you trust the Lord, it's going to turn out perfect, or as close to perfect as it can be. And then you're going to come in here next Sunday and say, boy, it turned out really good. The Lord helped me. And I tell you what, He is our ever-present help in time of need. But sometimes we have to be like this man that fell in the Dead Sea. And we got to quit floundering around and trying to save ourselves and do this and do that and do something else. And sometimes we got to just lean back and relax and say, okay, God, you got me. And that old sermon that Rich preached years ago, you got this, you know, and he's got it if you'll trust him. And I'm going to tell you what, we all could learn a lot of lessons from that, because just like Peter and them, they tried everything they could out in that boat. I mean, they were expert fishermen. That's how they made their living. They weren't novices at fishing. They were experts. They went out and fished every day, and that's how they made their living. If they didn't make a catch, they didn't make any money that day. Might not have ate that day. You never know. But guess what? When Jesus came by, even though they didn't feel bad because they'd done everything they knew to do to catch the fish, but when Jesus came by, and he told them, cast out into the deep. You know what? He knew they hadn't caught no fish, because the Spirit of God inside of him let him know all things. And when they got out there, he said, put down your net on this side of the boat. And basically they said to him, well, you know, we didn't catch any fish, you know. But at your word, we'll put it down. And I'm going to tell you what, you can always rely on His word. He will honor His word above His name. He will always honor His word above His name. And His name is pretty powerful. There's no other name given amongst men whereby you can be saved. And at His name, demons flee, things change, storms calm, everything else. But I'm going to tell you what, He will honor His word above His name. And when He gives you a word, you can stand on that, you can lay on that, you can sit on that, you can do whatever you want to do, and He will bring it to pass. Not you, He will. Praise God. Well, that's all I had to share with you today. It hasn't been real long. And, you know, I just want you all to know that it's funny because they got to talking back there about the power of God's Word and God's Word back there. And I was sitting there thinking, Lord, that's what you gave me for. I mean, I can show you that my paper here, because I usually print my stuff out on a computer before I bring it in here. And the title to this sermon was The Power of God's Word. and that's exactly what we were talking about back there. And if you trust Him, He will meet your needs. He'll let you know what you need to know when you need to know it. Sometimes we ask for something, and it ain't time for us to know what we're asking for. And then we get upset because He don't tell us. And you know, I told you, I think I mentioned this last week, there was a scientist, his name was Carter, and Carter asked, he was a Christian, and he asked the Lord one time, he said, show me the mysteries of the universe. And he said, God spoke to him and said, I won't show you the mysteries of the universe, but I'll show you the mysteries of a peanut. And he created, and they create all kinds of things out of peanut oils and all kind of things. And you know what? Sometimes we ask way more than we're ready to receive, you know. But, you know, just trust in the Lord. He's going to let you know what you need to know when you need to know it. Praise God. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. Praise God. Praise you, Father. Father, in Jesus' name, we just come before you right now. We give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. I thank you for this simple little word that I shared here today. Let your people begin to realize that they're a tree of the Lord. We sing a song, thank God I'm a tree planted by living waters. My leaves shall not wither, my roots go down deep. And all that I do, God said I would prosper. I'm a tree of the Lord and I'm planted by Him. And you know you are the planting of the Lord. And Father, I thank you that we are your planting. You've planted us. And Father, sometimes you got to dig around our roots and put a little manure in there, which it's not pleasant to deal with, but it sure makes that tree grow good. Sometimes you got to cut a few branches off that aren't bearing any fruit. And sometimes we don't like it when you start pruning. But thank you, Father, that you do prune us, that you do cut off the dead limbs, the limbs that aren't bearing fruit. And we give you all praise and all glory. And I ask you, Father, that as this word goes forth, that whoever's out there struggling today with anything, that they would come to realize that if they'll just rely on you and trust in you, that you'll meet their needs according to your riches and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day.